Good morning, everyone. I'm really happy to welcome you here on our last day of the what's been a wonderful conference. And I'm very pleased to introduce the Squamish team who are fully represented here, who are going to be talking to you about Ta Tsetsaps, Ta Squamish Sneechum, Skach. The Squamish Language Dictionary Project. Thank you.
OCM. Hot Squile Tanoia, Hot Squalowins, Hot Squalowins Chipquis, Quachinomia, A to T T Seeds, Quiscahuinata, Hies Colautuch. Good day, everyone. So good to see all of you guys here today. I'd like to thank you all for waking up, making here on your Sunday, and gathering here today to witness and see some of the things that we've been working on with our Skahuns, with Wanichin Skahuns, the Talking Dictionary project that we've been working on. Nishta Ants Satalton, Queen Kushamin, Norman Guerrero, Queen Sna, Tanauchten, Queen Kushamin, Peter Jacobs, Queen Snaz. It's also Wanuch, Kwikushamins, Aaron Williams, Kwisnas, Smasal, Kwikushamins, Kara Jefferson, Kwisnas, Squitzia, Kwikushamins, Eva Johnson, Kwisnas. Chikwat Skopmish Stalmoch, Tinatla Skopmish Tameoch, Chikwat Tsetsap, not Skopmish Ochomeoch, Ins Echnetim Tisnoyel, a University of Victoria. Amen. We are from the Squamish Nation. The four of us here work for the Squamish Nation and either with the University of Victoria. And again, Chikukhayashtin tonight. Our hands are up to all of you guys for today and welcome. So just a little bit of history on who we are as Squamish people. Squamish Sneechum is the name of our language, and Squamish Sneechum is spoken in Vancouver, Squamish Valley, Howe Sound, Chiakwis Valley, British Columbia. This is a map of our traditional territory that we have, that we use in our schools to educate not only our students, but everybody that's around us, to let them know who we are and where everyone is in Squamish territory. We roughly have about 4,000 members now in our nation. Our language is in the midst of revitalization, but currently we only have 10 first language speakers that grew up speaking their language as a first language. We have about well over 100 of our people who have taken the language in the schools. I myself teach at Norgay Elementary School, which is in the public school system. The school that I'm at roughly has about 65 to 70% of our own First Nations from the nearby reserve, the Capilano Reserve, and the students there have the chance of learning the language it's an option that they get back to back with French, so they're allowed to take that option. Squamish language is an option. There's about 14 Squamish language teachers in our nation. I think half of them are here. We have some of the ladies in the audience there. They are our little school staff. We're at the Capilano Little One School, grades K-4 to 2.
We're really talking to you about different stages of our dictionary project, which is, you know, is a lifetime project. We have a print version, which has been going around the room, and then you'll see some photocopied versions, which are earlier versions that we used for years of the print. So we're just going to give you a brief history of the print one, because it's not the main focus of what we're talking about, but it's really the basis of our work. We started a dictionary project in our own community, and I really wanted to underscore that our dictionary was led by the community and developed by the community, and so it's a community-led project from beginning to end. We started off, just for interest sake, some of you want to know how we got speakers. We had a group called the God Squad. They were a prayer group. They were one of the only people that we knew at the time who regularly met and still used the language, and so we started with them, and then we went from there. And they knew other speakers in the community, and that's how we got the dictionary started. We were really based on previous collected sets of words, word lists, classified word lists, and things like that. So we spent a lot of time working with the elders because, you know, the translation of words is not a straightforward process. So I want to say that, you know, part of our project is a continuation of that, that really the making of the dictionary is as important as the final product. That learning together how from the elders the words are used and talking is as important as actually publishing something. Just as a point of process for us, we always vet everything we're doing repeatedly through the community. And we had our language teachers use the dictionary. You'll see some of the photocopied ones are the ones that we used for years. And we just got ideas from the kids and different age, school age children about what would be a good dictionary. And they gave us a lot of good input. You might be interested to know that the one word we forgot to put in the dictionary for many, many years is Skokmish, which is the word Squamish. It's never in the dictionary for the longest time. And the word Squamite, which is the word for dog, which is the one word that everybody knows. you know, just interest things that people would notice is the font was too small, it was too big. People didn't were confused by the layout, they wanted more space. Those kind of things, we just really listened. And what was also important about it is that then everybody in the community had input into the dictionary. And so anybody who's been a language learner for the last 15, 20 years has had input into the dictionary from our community. There's some other points here too that we learned from that. We finally published it in 2011, and this was really at the request of our leadership, our political leaders, that they wanted us to do an official published version of the dictionary. And our best fit at the time was with the University of Washington Press. They were very helpful. We did a community launch also, and that was really just for ourselves. And I just take it as a point that as a team we did the right thing, because when we launched the community launch, people came up to us and said, "Oh, I'm so glad to see my grandmother's dictionary," or "I'm so glad to see my uncle's dictionary." So it wasn't my dictionary, it wasn't the language team's dictionary, it was the dictionary of their family members. And that's how it should be. Other design considerations. So when we were making it, we wanted it to be for the community, so we were not really making a dictionary for linguists. We didn't want to include everything possible in the dictionary. But we also didn't want it to be a list of words, because we wanted it to be good for language learners. So some of the decisions we made at the time, we didn't want to have too much breakdown of words. And we didn't have very many sentences, although we wanted them, because we imagined we'd be doing an electronic version. But as you know, that decision took much more time. So 2011, it's 2017, and here we are talking about the electronic version. So just some observations about a print dictionary, because it's leading up to what we're doing next. It really increased the status of the language in the community. Having an official published dictionary changes the status of the language in the minds of the community and in the minds of people outside of the community. We have an official orthography, so we really just that gave even a stronger note to the community that this is our writing system. The language team. People are coming to the language team now with the dictionary. Like, what does this mean? So people have a resource to come and talk to language teachers. People want to learn the language more because they have their own resource to do it on their own. And we, of course, really the main purpose for us was to have a good companion for language learners in the classroom. And we did a little bit of grammar at the beginning, which if you get a chance to look at. Of course, a dictionary can't do everything, and so now we know what it's not doing. And we're just going to talk about a couple of those things before we get into looking at how we're moving to the e-dictionary. One thing with translations is it's really hard to give enough rich cultural context. And we have a word smotsen, which you see the first translation is proud, but we really don't tend to use this word as like I'm very proud of you. It just if you say I'm very smotsen for you, it sounds funny, right? But people who didn't know that will look at the dictionary and say they're using it now as a word for pride. But there is another word that means like, you know, what we think honorable pride. Multiple meanings. Why does the word squile have like, you know, which one is the right meaning? Lots of meanings for the word squall. It could be day, blue, sky, could be the next day. So some of those things, obviously the dictionary can't give you enough information to understand all that that beautiful complexity of the language.
So I'm going to go over the struggles that I've had as a student with this print version of the dictionary. So I don't have much background in the language. And when I'm trying to find words, as you can see for thimbleberry, there's three different ways, but there's no way of knowing which one is exactly the right one. I did not realize there was a thimbleberry tree, but I found out that it just means there's many bushes. And then the other thing is there's typos. So in one version, there's an E, another version, there isn't. But when you're trying to look in the Squamish side, you find the one with the E, but really you're looking for the one without the E. So you don't really know what's going on with this. So I guess it's just more of there's a lot of problems having to find words in there.
So the order of letters. As you can see, we have 8 K's. that's a problem. It's a problem for finding words. It's a problem for knowing what the differences is. And if you don't know already, looking at the dictionary doesn't help you learn more, right? It just becomes a matter of confusion. Of course, in the classroom, we would be introducing this as lessons. But for anyone that's just picking it up, it wouldn't be obvious to them. Also, we have different abbreviations that we meant, like verb, transitive and intransitive. Any of you Salishness know that you cannot study a Salish language without talking about this. So that kind of information is in the dictionary, but if you don't know, it's more extra information that might be distracting, unless you're in the classroom, and then it's really What can't a dictionary help you with, a written dictionary? These are obvious things, but just wanted to highlight them. And you can't learn about intonation. You can't learn about speaker variation, so what Eva was talking about, like, is this speaker variation, is this dialect, or is this just whoever wrote the dictionary wasn't thinking very clearly at the time? there's lexical information in the dictionary that's not, we didn't document in the dictionary, like words that have been borrowed, words that have been borrowed from different Salish languages, from the trade language and so forth. A lot of things that we just never put in there. Obviously, learning the consonants and how to pronounce them, you can't learn that from looking at a print dictionary is as good a description as we gave. And there's typos. We read it like 50 million times and we still got typos. And we had a team of people, as you well know, how this works. And you need to be really taught how to use the dictionary. It's not a standalone resource. Okay, so our next step is how we're working on an e-dictionary. I just want to acknowledge our colleague over here, Aidan, who has been working with us on a larger project in British Columbia about creating e-dictionaries. And this is where we're at right now, and we're going to present some of the ideas we have and a little bit of the struggles that we're having. So SHRC is one of the national funding bodies in Canada, and that's where the money's coming from for this project. Aidan is helping us with the platform, but really I wanted to just highlight that a lot of the work that is being done by the team here. So even though I'm a community member of Squamish, we really wanted to use this as a time for training in the nation for next generation of researchers. So that's me, I'm the university partner, even though I'm a community member. And we have others in our team, contract linguists. And here's just some of the things we're looking at, because we do want people to be able to appreciate some more complexity of the language. And we have the team here has been collecting a range of sentence types, and so we have our database and keeping track of, you know, those of you who are like thinking about this, looking at, you know, questions and commands and answers and relative clauses and all that. We want to have like a representative richness of sentence types in our electronic dictionary, and it's been a learning process for us as a group too, to be collecting those sentences. So I just wanted to turn it over to Saul Sawano here, who's been helping us in this, starting off with some of the sentences that we've been collecting too.
Quis cahuin so chit ti nat an es quis squalo in chit. Wyatt, qui hat squalo in chit, quis qui enso chit, ascot to snatchum. Qui hat sets up chit, na chowet ti qui out stalmuch. Quis is wa qui enso chit. Slackman unto awen nat qui hat stalmuch. How cut me minuch wait to snatchum chit? Wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing in our language. We come here today with open arms, seeing each of you and revealing a little bit about what we're doing. I'm really new to this, and the language I'm not new to. I've been with our language almost all my life. Some parts off and on, and you know, I started doing this work just last April, officially with our people in our education department. I started mentoring underneath Dr. Peter Jacobs and also my Swinny Maya, Vanessa Campbell, about just under 3 years ago. And I really started to develop a conscious connection with our language in a more official state, in terms of understanding sentence structure with smaller things. My grandmother used to like to talk about the words as the small words, prefixes and suffixes and stuff, and how they work with transitive verbs, how they don't work with intransitive verbs. For all you keeners here. I guess getting involved with being able to be a part of this project, collecting data and being able to be a part of the data entry process, is definitely enlightened and given me a heightened sense of understanding language, our language, in a written form. Coming from a background of learning our language through the oral context, the immersional process has been able to be a lot more easily delivered to our people through what I do back home. And again, I just wanted to be able to thank all of you for coming here today. This process is definitely, for me and my own experience, just I'll end with this, is being created to be what I am today. I've found an indefinite usefulness in terms of being useful to our people, and I'm really grateful for that. A good man once told me that this gift of our language is not a gift for me, that this language is a gift for our people. So I'll end it there.
Big shout out to Leanne Hinton for helping and the group in California experiencing mentor apprentice as part of the process too. So this work just sits in a much bigger context than what we're able to talk about today. So really what we wanted to have, and I wanted to just show you that we want to have the elders' voices, the teachers, adult learners, and then youth learners. And these are the next steps we're working on. Because the elders, obviously, we want people to hear first language speakers. We have a small group of elders. There's no way that all of our learners are going to ever get to spend time with them personally. The teachers, because that's the main people that everybody's learned the language from, and we're all second language learners. We wanted to include adult learners for the same reason we all of us talk about, that the more people you include in the project, the more that the community owns it as their own and not as a particular interest of just one or two people. And then youth learners, because we want to show that it's a living language. So I'm just going to stop there and just give you a little view here of our of where we're at right now. We've come up with a beta version, and we have some. We collected 50 words. We don't know what happened to 6 of them. So we already know this process is going to be complicated. We want to have thousands of words, so 6 got lost already. But so you can see the design of it. So we have a word like hot, which there's something wrong with the translation there, but it means good. And then the drop-down menu, you can have elders' voice, community members' voice, the teacher's voice, and the youth voice. And so we have a richness of different voices. Those of you who are language teachers know if you're the only voice that a learner hears, that's the only person that they're going to understand. Mm-hmm. And so you wanted a wider range. And so I think we have an elders' voice in this one. This was to be the grand finale. I'll say it then, hot. So that's where, and you know, the working with Aiden, our next steps is to look at expanding this platform. Of course, lots of possibilities for video and much more of a visually rich medium, and a way for our learners to be able to hear and take the print dictionary, hear it, and learn sentences and create a greater context for all of us, and to make it a community project from beginning to end. I'd really like to end there. Tamata kwetsi to snechinchit. Very happy that you all gathered here with us, and really look forward to any of your questions and comments.
Would you like to field the questions?
Thank you for this. This is lovely, and I really appreciate this piece about multiple voices for the reasons you mentioned about learners getting access to those different voices. So thank you for that. That's something I'll take and share. I have a question about training components. You talked about that with the print dictionary, that people need to learn how to use the dictionary. And my questions around that are you, what components or content do you think is important in such a training from your experience? And also, are you going to do that with the electronic version?
So our language team, like our teachers here and our teachers here, will be the ones that will be using these resources in our school and the community, and our teachers in the public school system. So they will be the ones that will be using it. And part of the reason we have like a team like this is so that we together can do the training and build it so that we all understand it. So we are the first ones that are being trained, and you know, working with Aiden and understanding some of the best practices that we can do for that. For the dictionary, we have like a college level certificate program, and that was part of the intent of that, is to train the teachers and the use of those resources, and to increase their grammar and vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Languages will change. People will introduce new words, like for cell phone. How are you planning to handle the changes that come up?
Nate Nutston. Nate Nutston. The word for phone, one of the words for phone is Nutston, which means putting your voice into it. And Nate Nutston is a diminutive of that. A little phone. But that's not the only one. We, you know, as new words come up, so in the dictionary, we did put things that were new words that we knew at the time, and we tried to put as much variety, as many different pronunciations in the print one. Obviously, with this version, we can even be more rich with that and honor the different ways that community. We don't really have dialects, but we certainly have, you know, lots of different vocabulary that people are creating now. So we want to acknowledge that too and use it. So I prefaced the publication of the print dictionary as a request of our political leaders, because we already had the photocopied versions that we were happy with. It is a question of how we're going to meld both of them together. I don't, if you have ideas, we'd be happy to hear. But certainly, the advantage of the print one is you have everything available right there, and once you understand how to use it. And that's a, you know, it's a learning curve. You have access to thousands of words right away, but you don't have access to thousands of sentences. So you can make those connections, hopefully, between the print one and then the sentences in the audio version. I got a question down here.
I'm just building off of the comment on new words. I mean, you talk a lot about getting a lot of feedback from the community with the print dictionary, but it seems to me that the online dictionary provides another
That's definitely a consideration that we've thought about, to have some kind of a feedback. Yeah, our feedback from the community for the print one is just people come up to us and say, like, hey, like, what does this mean? It could be anywhere, right? We could be at a community gathering, and that's when it happens. So that's great, but it's also not very effective for us. Like, we have to have, like, a notepad and remember, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, for this one, we have to get a more consistent way of getting feedback.
It's not really a question, it's just a comment. I would like to say congratulations, it's really good. I think the print dictionary is really good too, because you may not always have internet where you are. And so I'm just saying congratulations to you, it's a really good idea.
What's that called? What's that called? Leanne?
I really liked the teacher's dictionary that had categories of words. And I was wondering if you're going to be able to categorize words on this.
So semantic groups will be important in this, that we could not do so easily in a print dictionary. And we really did all our original word lists according to semantic groups. So yes, so, and Aiden there has to answer it better.
There's also in the flashcard section there, once semantic categories are added for entries, you'll be able to, in that section right there, where now there's only random entries that you're brought up, it'll be able to create decks of flashcards based on this.
That's a question for Aiden. Yeah, yes. we do want that. Yes.
Yeah,
thank
that
you.
Would be
yeah. This is actually just a stock photo that Aiden gave us. I'm not really sure where it is.
I took it from searching Squamish on Flickr under Creative Commons.
Oh, that's right. I can see where it is now, yeah. So the really larger context of our research is we have some language apps that we're working on, which will have we already have some now, they just haven't published them, with electronic books, and then kind of language lesson type language apps, and we certainly want to have more text rich electronic things for learners too, but the connection with the text we haven't thought that far yet. I like the idea. I have no idea how to do it yet.
<I'm not>.
Yeah.
Can we have time for one more question? Okay, well, thank you very much.